right. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to play some audio for you guys from yesterday's show. Maybe you missed it. If you did, be sure to check out the podcast page, 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, wherever you get your podcast from, Apple, Spotify, it doesn't matter. You can listen to the show. So the Chiefs struggled with pass rush in Sunday's game against Buffalo. We asked Mitch Holthus about it. Here's what he had to say.
At some point, there's got to get a pass rush with four. Because when you face a good quarterback, I mentioned it several times during the broadcast, and Dana and I talked about it. Josh Allen's QBR against a blitz all year long has been 126.8. I mean, that's valedictorian. So you're not going to get to him necessarily with the blitz, and the Chiefs have been so good at blitzing, at getting off the field or making the play to get the stop, that if you can't get pressure with four, then all of a sudden, obviously, you know, you're being exposed. You can, if you have a quarterback that finds the hot receiver, which is what Mayfield did, Nix did to some extent, but Josh Allen was doing it all day long. It's what we see Pat doing in his sleep. So at some point, you're going to have to get pressure with four to get off the field.
So that was Mitch Holthus yesterday when we asked him about the pass rush. Now, Rob, let me ask you this question. You're a pretty knowledgeable football fan, knowledgeable sports fan. Where does the pass rush usually come from if you're only going to rush four? Is it coming from safeties? Is it coming from Spags scheming up a blitz? Or is it coming from down linemen? It's usually coming from down linemen, right? Well, the Chiefs spent a first-round pick on somebody who we believe could get after the quarterback, and now after a year and a half, that player is still MIA. This is where I think Clark could have potentially screwed the Chiefs just a little bit. Talk to anybody you know. With the Chiefs hosting the draft, we all said this. Clark will not let them trade down. Clark wanted his moment, and that's perfectly fine. You're allowed to have those moments if you own the team. So for the AFC Championship game, I don't care how many times we play in this. My daddy name on that trophy, I'm banging the drum every single time. Every time. It doesn't matter who else wants to do it. I'm banging the drum this week. You don't need to call anybody to ask if they want to come into town to do it. I'm here. I'll do it. Clark wants his moment, and that's perfectly fine. The Chiefs made that draft pick, Rob, and they had fireworks going off. He walked out. You ain't never seen Clark Hunt smile before. He was smiling big. He was holding the trophy. He couldn't wait to read off that name. They shouldn't have drafted Felix in the first round. Felix was not a first-round pick. Felix was a second or third round developmental pick because of his age, and he just needed more time to develop. We have this conversation about other players all the time. Well, if they had just been a second or third round pick, the expectation would be different. Felix Onyedike gets one of the biggest passes of any first round pick the Chiefs have ever selected. Think about the first round picks that they've had. Think about how much time we spend talking about Xavier Worthy and whether he should be ready, or this guy's a bust, or this guy's not a bust, or they should take this guy. Think about all the first round picks that they have. Has there been any first round pick that they have that we basically gave them an entire mulligan for last year that we did not care about your production? And everybody just came to that same conclusion. I don't know how we came to that. We didn't have some meeting or something. Everybody was, oh, it doesn't matter what you do last year. Well, now it's year two. The Chiefs have a couple injuries up front. It's now time for you to step up, right? It's time for you to earn your keep, so to speak. It's time for you to be a first-round pick in the NFL draft. Guy played 15 snaps on Sunday. That's 73 as a defense. He's still behind Mike Dana. He's behind Tershawn Wharton. We think that Josh Oshae is going to take snaps from this individual. They burned a first-round pick at a pretty important position. And if you're not going to spend big-time money there, and that's perfectly fine, they spent that money on Chris Jones, you're also not going to go out and get two or three big-time pass rushers. We all understand that. Well, you hit on George Karloftis. He was a legitimate first-round prospect. You've made some good other moves. Mike Dan is a very solid rotational piece. You went out in free agency and picked up Charles Aminihu. Big piece. Guy just got injured. You spent the first-round pick on a player that none of us ever talk about, and he has no expectations put on him. That's why they're struggling on pass rush. That's why we're expecting you to scheme it up and do some things off the end. No. Why can't your big guys beat their big guys when it comes to getting to the quarterback? And that's a major reason why they lost on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. Is this defense, at least in that individual game, they struggled with their front four and their defensive line consistently winning the point of attack against your guys. We put a lot on Chris Jones. Understandable. You're arguably one of the five best defensive players in the league. There's a lot of responsibilities on George Karlaftis, and I understand it. First round pick, a guy who is in line to get a contract at the end of this year. I get why there's expectations on him. We got to start explaining to me how we can be in the middle of we're at the point now that Felix has been in the league for 25, 26 games and we treat him like he's a sixth round pick, like a guy that shouldn't be discussed, like a guy that shouldn't be criticized for anything when he consistently comes up MIA.
You'll understand the analogy. We treat him like Mizzou has this happen sometimes. KU does this a lot. K-State's the king of this. They recruit some two-star kid. They redshirt him, and everyone goes, you know, if his body develops and if he just learns the system in a couple years, he might be a player for us. That's how we talk about Felix Anyudike Uzomah. We talk about him like he's the plucky two-star kid that just needs time to develop. And you know what? I'm probably part of the problem because when he was picked, I understood Clark Hunt having his moment, Patrick Mahomes, the party in Kansas City, the whole shebang. But I thought Felix Anyudike Uzomah would be a good player. I thought maybe it'd be year two, year three, but he has not developed in that way at all. I thought a guy who was productive in the Big 12 and would be in a system where he could go feast as a pass rusher would go feast. He has not feasted. He has not been that player. But to your larger point about Clark Hunt, and I don't want to come off as a Clark Hunt defender here, but can't we play the same game of Patrick Mahomes in 2020? Can't we be doing the same thing? Because after the first Super Bowl, it's 2020, it's COVID, it's the draft, everyone's excited because nothing's happening. And Patrick Mahomes calls up Brett Veach, and the story is, you got to draft Clyde. You got to draft Clyde. Go get me Clyde. I need Clyde. Clyde, 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 Clyde. Brett Veach did it. He didn't draft T. Higgins. He didn't draft Michael Pittman. He did what the superstar quarterback said, and that went just as bad. So if we're going to be harsh on Clark Hunt for, hey, I want this to happen for me, shouldn't we have that same harsh criticism of the quarterback for his role in the 2020 draft?
Yeah, he was wrong. I don't mind saying that. Yeah, Pat was wrong. They shouldn't have drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That was easy. No, I'm with you. I agree. I'm not here to push back on you. You're right. I want to read this text really quickly. 913-586-7965. CDOT, it's easy to give a pass when you win Super Bowls. That's not what Sky Moore got. Sky Moore didn't get a pass. They won the Super Bowl with Sky Moore on the team. Sky Moore got criticized for not being good enough. That's not how we treated Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman got criticized by not being good enough. So this easy to give a pass to because you won Super Bowls. There is only one draft pick that they have picked up that gets a pass. Kingsley ain't getting passes. Wanya Morris isn't getting passes. There's only one player that the Chiefs have spent a significant resource on in the last 2 years that we don't talk about and doesn't get any level of criticism or heat thrown his way. And that's a guy who was a first round pick. If Felix was Darian Kennard or BJ Thompson, why would we talk about it? He's a fifth round pick. He was from Lee Summit. He went to K-State. You drafted him. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, it's not that big of a deal. For all the times that we talk about, well, I don't want the Chiefs to burn this asset. I don't want the Chiefs to burn this asset. They burned a first-round asset on a photo op for the owner. That's what they spent it on. They spent it on a photo op. They spent it so Clark could walk out there with the trophy, they could light the fireworks, and he could take a picture with the kid from Lee Summit. Because we're still talking about, in the middle of year two, a guy that cannot get on the field. And right now, one of their biggest weaknesses is literally why you spend a first-round pick on trying to improve that. So you draft somebody who can get after the quarterback, somebody who can help you get pressure with your front four. He has two sacks a year and a half into his career and has less than 30 solo tackles. He has not been good since he has been here. And I just want to understand how this is not how we treated anybody else. This is not how Creed got treated early on. This is not how Nick Bolton got treated early on in his career. The only top player, this is not how Breland Speaks got treated early on in his career. There's only one kid that is getting a pass for how they're playing despite where they were drafted, and the kid went to K-State. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan from the Mission Plumbing Heating and Cooling Studios. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. He's taken your Chiefs to the mountaintop three different times.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And he sits down with one show across the entire country for an exclusive one-on-one interview. Your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes on The Drive.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. Rob is here as well, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Every week we get an opportunity to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the first time in a while that we have talked to Patrick Mahomes after a loss. They lost on Sunday to the Buffalo Bills. My first question to the quarterback was, how comparable was Sunday's road environment to the one that you faced last year in the postseason in Buffalo?
Yeah, no, I mean, the crowd was definitely live out there. Obviously, I think the postseason was a little bit rowdier just because, I mean, it's a playoff football game. That's kind of how it is at every stadium. But they packed it out, man. It was a hostile environment for sure.
You're a history, you know, buff when it comes to the game and a story, and so to speak. What is it like to be in the middle of one of those kind of, you know, Colts and Patriots kind of rivalries where, you know, every time you guys play Buffalo, there's big stakes on board, and you know it's always going to be a tightly contested game going into the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely cool. I mean, to be able to be in one of those games where it means a ton for seeding and everything like that as far as playoffs and stuff like that. But it's just cool going up against the best of the best. And we've been able to play Buffalo these last few years, and it's been a lot of fun. Obviously, we've won some and lost some.
You guys obviously never want to lose, but in some ways, is there a relief to kind of not have to talk about being undefeated every week? Like, that conversation was really going to ramp up if you guys had won this game, that now it's about the things that really matter, taking care of business in the AFC West, locking up a one seed, and putting you guys in the best position to go back to another Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, either way. I mean, I don't think it wasn't too much of a distraction or anything like that. I think we were just going about it one week at a time, and obviously there won't be no questions at all because we have the loss. So I guess that could be a good thing, but at the same time, we have to focus on just getting better every week and trying to play our best football as the season goes on.
What was the tone around the team? You know, it's been a while since you guys have had a regular season loss, a loss period. You know, we're talking about almost going on a calendar year. For some of the guys on the team, this is the first time they've lost in their NFL career. What was kind of the tone for the team after the game, and how do you get those guys refocused as you head into another week and another week of practice?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't want to ever lose, so I mean, guys weren't happy, but at the same time, I think guys understand that we have to be better. We have to execute the details better and play better football if we want to continue to stack up wins. So it's about learning from this experience. I mean, obviously you don't want to lose any more games or anything like that, but you have to get better each and every week, and I think that's something that we can do following this loss.
Is that tone set by the coaches? Is that tone set by someone like you, Travis, Chris, guys that have kind of been through the ups and downs of a season? Obviously, you want to keep things in a perspective. You guys are still 9-1 and still in line to do all of those things. But that message this week, is that coming more from the players or is that coming more from the coaches?
I think it comes from everybody. I mean, that's what makes us such a great team, is the coaches hold themselves accountable just like the players hold themselves accountable, and it kind of goes throughout the entire building. So we make sure that we just get to practice and we continue to work get better. But I mean the coaches emphasize it, we emphasize it as players, and then we go out there and execute whenever game day comes.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick, let's talk about some things that happened in the game. There were some good and bad from Xavier Worthy, in my opinion. Let's talk about the drive that he had. That, to me, kind of felt like a, man, everything is starting to click moment. He finished with 4 catches for 61 yards. I thought Xavier Worthy played as well as he's played in about a couple of months or so.
Yeah, I think you see his confidence. He has a better understanding for the entire offense, and when he got in some man-type situations, he was winning and getting himself open. So, I mean, he's going to continue to get better and better. I mean, he's still a young kid. I mean, he's 21 years old and out here in the NFL getting a high volume of snaps, and he's making plays when he's getting opportunities. And so, like I said after the game, we have to continue to get him more and more involved in the offense throughout the entire game. But I thought he had a good game, all things considering.
Take us through the deep pass play that resulted in an incompletion. What we kind of talked about on the show was, sure, you could probably make a better throw in that scenario, put the ball in a better spot to help lead to a touchdown, but I also don't think that play should result in an incompletion either. Just kind of take us through that balance and how you guys can kind of help him get just some better field awareness, in my mind.
I think more than anything, it was kind of a play that you just have to learn from in general for me and for him. I mean, I think that wasn't necessarily the first read of the play, but I just, how the safety reacted to the run fake, I knew that he was going to have some free room over there, and didn't fully see him, but try to put it out there for him to make a play, and wish I could have kind of set my feet, seen him, and just thrown a ball where he can lead him upfield, where he can score a touchdown. But I think just more and more reps that we get with that play, then and those type throws will just continue to get better. And I know everybody hates it. It's kind of happened a couple of times this year, but at the same time, I feel like we're getting closer and closer, and you want to be able to hit those as the playoffs come around and into the rest of his career.
That's sort of how it feels to me. You know, you guys have kind of had one of those moments in each of the last game, you know, against Tampa Bay, against the Broncos, and against Buffalo. It does feel like as we get closer to the postseason, when you really want to get this thing right, it does feel like you guys are on track to getting that part of your game figured out.
Yeah, and I think it's shown over time, man. As you continue to get more and more reps, you get a feel for how the guy runs routes. You get a feel for how I want him to be in certain spots at certain timings. And I think he's getting more confident and being able to be himself. And I think whenever you're playing and not thinking is when you can play your best. And I think he's getting to that point.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. How good is it to get Juju Smith-Schuster back? It feels like just with Pacheco coming back to practice, Aminahou coming back to practice, Juju playing on Sunday against Buffalo, it feels like you guys are kind of coming out on the other side of some of the bad injury luck you guys had in the first half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to get those guys back, man. They worked their tail off, and so I'm excited to start getting some of those guys back on the field and letting them get back to being the special players that they are. And it was good to have Juju out there, man, someone I have a lot of confidence in. And I think as we continue to get more and more guys back, we'll continue to be better, especially offensively, and be able to go out there next year at a higher level. And I'm just excited for what we have in store for these last few weeks going into the postseason.
I'm not sure if Pacheco's going to play at this game, but I do think he plays before the end of the month, either in this game against Carolina or against the Raiders. What is it going to be like to get him back, and how do you incorporate both backs into the system, as Kareem Hunt has also had a lot of success?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a special group, man. I mean, to be able to have Kareem and how he's playing and how he's running the ball, getting those extra yards, and then adding Pop, who we know is going to be excitement, and he's going to have energy, and he's going to make big plays happen and run tough. I think it's going to be hard for defenses to account for, and as well as you get the run game going, it opens up the pass game as well. And so I'm excited for it, man. I'm excited to get guys healthy, get them back in the swing of things, and let them go out there and be the special players that they are.
I know you've broken down the film. What do you think Buffalo did against Travis Kelce that gave them so much success?
All honesty, man, they did what they always do. I mean, they just played at a high intensity, a high level, and really focused in on trying to take away what you're good at, and they did a good job of that. I got to be better at getting him involved early and getting him some throws. Even on the first interception, I probably could just fit the ball into Trav and get the first down. And so, I mean, just stuff like that to get him going and get him involved in the offense. And, I mean, that's how some games roll, and other guys stepped up and made plays like Noah and Xavier, but getting those main guys going will help out the entire offense.
I was just going to ask you about Noah. He had two touchdowns in this game. He's really been a good piece for you guys. How have you seen his game grow over the years as you and him build rapport and continue to build on that chemistry?
Yeah, I think it's just me having confidence in him. As I watch film, it seems like every year when I do our scheme evaluation, I look at the film and I'm just like, man, if I just give Noah some of those opportunities, he's open a lot of the times during the game. And even in this last game, I threw a ball to Trav in the early second half where Noah kind of breaks open late. And that's not necessarily the first read, but it's one that I can alert and get to if I like the matchup. And so just continue to give him more and more opportunities to make plays. He's a guy that's going to do everything it takes to win the football game, and you want those guys on your team.
you guys' final touchdown drive, I think that was the best drive that you guys have had this season. You guys never faced a third down. You went down the field. As you watch the film, how is that something you guys can continue to replicate to get this offense firing on all cylinders?
Yeah, I think it's just having the urgency that we have on those final drives throughout the entire game. I mean, it seems like whenever we get down into a spot where we have to score a touchdown, we go out there and score a touchdown. And I think if we can have that urgency and that sense of I don't want to say pressure, but that sense of I got to do this right now every single drive, then we'll be a hard football team to beat. And it's about learning how to do that and then maintaining that throughout an entire football game.
How do you guys keep that urgency against this opponent? I mean, this game is sandwiched in between some pretty big games. You know, you go on the road against Buffalo. You got Black Friday coming up at home against a divisional opponent, a hated rival in the Raiders. How do you guys keep that intensity up on the road against in Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you turn on the tape and you see these, especially these last 2 weeks, this team's playing good football. I mean, I'm not going to say that they started off the year they wanted the way they wanted to, but they've gotten healthier. Their quarterback's playing good football, and their defense is playing really good these last few weeks. And so they had a bye week. They're going to be confident. We're going to have to go down there and play at their place, and they're going to give us everything they have. And so it's going to be a great game, man. And I'm not going to let the record fool me. I know this team has a lot of great football players, and it's going to take our best football to go out there and get a win.
Patrick, this is your first time playing against the Panthers on the road. Is this your first time in Charlotte? You know, that's not a Major League Baseball city. You know, maybe you had win with your pops before. This is your first time playing there. Are you even familiar with Charlotte?
I believe I've been there once. I can't remember exactly. I believe I've been there once on a golfing type trip at some point a while back. But I mean, I think it's a great city from everything I've heard, and they got a lot of young, talented players that are hungry, and it's gonna be a great football game.
I'll get you out of here with this. I would say that my two favorite college football players growing up were Reggie Bush and Cam Newton. Obviously, he's a great Panther. Who was that college football player for you growing up that you were just always gonna be a huge fan of?
Cam's a good one. I think Cam's a good one just because I saw him play when he was at Blinn College against Tyler Junior College. They won like 70-7. So he's a good one that I always think about. Tim Tebow was a big one with just how good that Florida football team was. And then obviously the big one for me was Vince Young, just because being in Texas and playing USC in that Rose Bowl was a special moment for any Texas football fan.
I love Vince Young too, but you know he cost Reggie Bush that national championship. That moment always hurts me.
Yeah, I know, but that was good. That was good for me, you know, to see Vince go out there and dominate college football. And I mean, like, just like the hero type figure. I mean, the guy that could run, throw, do it all. Even before that was the thing.
That is Patrick Mahomes joining us on the show today, quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. They look to get back on their winning path against Carolina this weekend. Pat, man, I'm looking forward to talking Thanksgiving with you next week, man. I appreciate you.
Yep, good seeing you.
That is a quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. He joins us every Tuesday. If you missed any part of that conversation, be sure to check it out on 96.5 The Fan and the app. Rob, who's that college football player for you? You know I love Auburn Cam Newton. I loved Reggie Bush, too. It was something about, you remember, he would always have like a message on the eye black. I don't feel like players were diving in the end zone before Reggie Bush really made it a thing. You know, there's like a couple, but those are like my one and two on my list. You also know that I have a soft spot in my heart for Florida State Peter Warrick, who might be the greatest college football player of all time. Who's that person for you?
I wish I could have taken bets on you working Peter Warrick into the conversation. You love
I might
Peter
actually
Warrick.
Tell I might tell Patrick next week about my love of Peter Warrick because he was that guy.
Not going to waste time talking about the game against the Panthers. Let's just get right to Peter Warrick.
Yeah, let's talk Peter Warrick.
So there's a couple. I really wanted to love Vince Young, but the dollar signs game in Lawrence makes me kind of hate him. Dennis Dixon, the quarterback at Oregon.
Yeah,
there was something about he was 6'4", maybe 120 pounds soaking wet, but he was like the first quarterback that was running that Chip Kelly offense. Remember the game against Michigan? They did the fake Statue of Liberty play. They were going for two. Dennis Dixon, man, I really enjoyed watching him play football. I can't explain it, but Dennis Dixon's the answer. Also, just I don't know why, but Danny Werfel's a great quarterback in college, but Danny Werfel throws that ball 60 times a game, and I don't know why. I really enjoyed watching him sling it all over the yard.
I would never tell people this because I'd cheer for Missouri, but I always used to really like Eric Crouch. I was a big Eric Crouch guy back in the day. I just like
he broke too many hearts, man.
The option was just always kind of cool, and that, they were like the last team to really run it. I was low key sad. Remember, they had the chance to go to the national championship, and they got their doors blown off by Colorado, but they somehow still went to the national title game. And then they played Miami. You knew they were not going to match up. If you got handled by Colorado, you had no chance in beating Miami. And that team, they got off to a great start, but it did not end well. Let me play a couple of pieces of audio for you guys. My dear friend, Nick Wright, on his show, we'll get to some of the national reaction from Chiefs and Bills. You guys know Nick is not worried about the Chiefs.
They are not playing the same game as everyone else early in games. I don't think Patrick's trying to throw interceptions, obviously. I'm not saying any of that. But they are... They clearly, one of the objectives of this game was, what will it look like if Xavier Worthy is our number one target? So we're going to work on that within a game. And so, it worked some.
He played well.
He played well. Mahomes missed him.
That
was on both of them, to be fair. He should have got his feet in. He also didn't have to be near the sidelines. Mahomes said it. He threw it in the wrong place. Like, that's both of them. I will never worry about Patrick Mahomes in the regular season until I see him not be the best player in the league by a mile.
I understand what Nick is saying, and I don't disagree in any way. But, you know, sometimes it's not when you lose, but who you lose to. Them losing that game is a little bit of a blow to the, I guess, the hopes of them being the one seed. Now, they can still be the one seed. I don't want to paint it like that. They still are the favorite to be the one seed. They certainly still have the inside track, but that's not a game that you should be okay with losing, so to speak. Like, that was a big, I don't want to say statement level game, but there are very few regular season games that have that much of an impact and move things so positively in your direction. It would have been better for the Chiefs to lose to Tampa Bay and beat Buffalo than the way that things played himself out. Now, you potentially put yourself in a spot where the second half of the season is just harder for you. You have to play guys, and maybe you couldn't, like, you could have possibly taken your foot off the gas just a little bit in the second half of the season and play more to preserve guys and just simply get guys to the finish line. Now, maybe you're thinking, we don't care about home field advantage. I saw what the Chiefs did last year, but I don't want to constantly be in a situation where you got to go on the road to Buffalo and you got to go on the road to Baltimore to win the championship. So just for one regular season game, why I think this one is different, just because of the implications of what it meant to win versus what it meant to lose against Buffalo. Let me play a couple more cuts for you guys. Here is Damian Woody on Get Up. Here's what he said.
Josh Allen's best quarterback in the league. Quarterback in the league. I know when I said that this morning, you were like, well, what about Lamar? What about Lamar Jackson? What about Josh Allen?
Patrick Mahomes.
Josh Allen is the best quarterback in the National Football League. Right now, he's the best quarterback. He can beat you. You know how you talk about styles make fun? He can play whatever way you want to play. If you need him to air it out and throw it all over the yard, Josh Allen can do that. If you want him rumbling and tumbling all over the field, guess what? He can do that. And you know the thing that he's doing, probably the best he's done all in his whole career, is taking care of the football.
He is.
He's taking care of the football. Josh Allen puts on his cape when he needs to put on his cape. And going head-to-head against Patrick Mahomes yesterday in the game of the year, Josh Allen was playing some of his best ball.
It is almost identical. Like, I wish there was a way that we could go back in the time machine. I'm sure we could find this. I would love to hear conversations that people were having about Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, because doesn't it sound the same? I don't disagree in theory with Damian Woody. Today, Josh Allen is playing the best of any quarterback in the National Football League. I don't really think you can argue otherwise. No one is saying that Mahomes is not incredible. You can certainly not argue his accolades and what he's done and when the games matter the most. But right now, Josh Allen is playing better than anyone. But, and I think Buffalo Bills fans would answer this as well, if the game is do or die, if it's the Super Bowl, if it's the AFC Championship game, you cannot lose this game. What quarterback would you rather have? Everybody's answer is the same. So ultimately, it doesn't matter. What does it matter if you're the best quarterback in the regular season? That's not where greatness is defined at your job. That's not where greatness is defined at your position. Greatness is defined at your position about the games you play at the end of the season, not the games in the beginning. And Pat has shown us for a half decade now, when those games get here, he'll be the best. He'll be the best. That's it. That's all that matters. So I don't disagree. Josh Allen right now is the favorite to win MVP. He probably should win MVP. I think at this point you can start to eliminate some guys. I'm sorry. If the Ravens are the wild card team, you're not giving Josh Allen the MVP, or excuse me, Lamar Jackson the MVP award. I think the MVP award is between two players at this point. I think it's between Josh Allen and Jared Goff. I think between those two individuals. And I would say that Allen has the inside track, but Goff has a lot of big games to go win the award. They play Buffalo later this year. They play on Thanksgiving next week. Goff goes out there and cooks the Bears, and he throws four touchdown passes in front of a nationally televised audience. Goff, I think, moves to the front of the list. So it feels like a two-horse race. But what does it matter? I don't think that Mahomes cares about that at this point. I don't think the Chiefs' kingdom, I don't think anybody on this side cares about that. So I don't disagree with what Damian Woody is saying. It feels very similar to the arguments that we had with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. You guys remember, they were calling Peyton Manning the greatest regular season quarterback of all time, which sounds really good. Well, Tom Brady's the greatest postseason quarterback of all time. Which one would you rather be? Which one would you rather have? We were listening to Breakfast Ball. That's the show that Danny is on. Shout out to our guy, Danny Parkins. Here's what Craig Carton had to say about the Chiefs.
Look, they're going to beat Carolina, obviously. They're going to beat the Raiders. But all of a sudden, you know, the last 5 weeks are not easy. In a year in which we're like, we said frequently, spot the loss, spot the loss, spot the loss. I could spot two or three potential losses in the final 5 or 6 weeks.
So is the big deal. Is this loss a big deal for the Chiefs?
It is and it isn't. And I know I'm riding the fence on that. It's a big deal because, like I said, we've now seen them bleed. They're human.
Yeah.
We know they can be beaten. Takes a special team, takes a confident coach, and a damn good quarterback to do it, but they can be beaten. So if I'm the Chargers, if I'm the Steelers, if I'm the Texans, all teams that they've got to play, teams that are going to be in the postseason, Denver did it first, which is set up the kind of recipe for how to play them and have success against them, and Buffalo did it better.
This is what I'll say in regards to what Craig Carton had to say. They're only swing states if you lose them. That's it. They're only swing states if they go the opposite direction. So yes, could I find potential losses on the Chiefs' schedule? Of course. Could the Chiefs lose on the road to Cleveland? Yes. Could the Chiefs lose to the Chargers on Sunday Night Football? Of course. They could lose to Houston. They could lose to Pittsburgh. I could find possible losses. The Chiefs aren't losing more than three games this year. They've lost one. They have maybe two more. They probably for sure have one more loss this season and maybe two. They don't have three. This is not a four-loss football team. Not with their schedule, not with their defense, not with their quarterback, not with their coach, not with their track record. You are not finding three additional losses on this schedule. So, yes, you can talk to me about possible. Yes, maybe, possibly, perhaps. Yes, they could maybe lose those games. I've seen enough Chiefs football to tell you that they are not losing all of those games. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit of college football. And I have a college football hot take I want to share with you guys. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Time to check in on MIZ, K-State, and KU. Let's go cover three.
Ready, break!
K-State. The Drive is disappointed in you. First off, you guys lost to Houston. And we were going to give you that because mistakes happen. You slipped up. That's all right. Players mess up all the time. But that should have been a sign for you to lock in and do what needed to be done. You had a couple of home games. You had a home game against Arizona State. You got a home game against Cincinnati leading into the big game Farmageddon against Iowa State. You know what's happened? You let the whole drive down. We were counting on you. The moment I hopped on the EMAW bandwagon, it crashed. It fell apart. I already got one team that didn't live up to preseason expectations. Now I got two. What am I going to do with two? So you know what? I'm here to make an official decree. K-State, I'm hopping off the bandwagon. If I wanted to have a basketball team that would get blown out at home by LSU, I would have just stayed at home. If I was going to have a team that was going to disappoint me down the stretch with the favorable schedule, I would have just stayed at home. I wouldn't have left home to pick up you guys' squad to basically be in the same spot that I was in. I thought it was going to be better. Have you ever had your friend convince you to go out to watch the game? You're like, man, you know, I normally just watch the Chiefs at home. No, man, come out, man. It's fun. It's great. And then you go and you're sitting there in the middle of the second quarter. You're like, bro, why am I even here? I could have just watched this game at home. That's how I feel now with K-State. So sure, you guys have won 8-9 games this year. I'm sure you'll go to a great bowl. Your fans are going to travel well, and you'll probably win that bowl. We had a chance to do something special together. We had a chance to go to the college football playoff, and you ruined it for me. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get over this, but I'll get over it. You know what? We're going to have a K-State band for the rest of the week after this segment. K-State band. We don't want any K-State person on the show for the rest of the week. Kurtz, don't text Rob trying to come on the show. We don't want you. We're not previewing your game against Cincinnati. Wyatt Thompson, I want you to know it ain't personal. Fitz, we love you. You can't come on the show this week. You guys have let me down. You let me down. You let Bill Snyder down. You let Jordy Nelson down. You let Darren Sproles, Mark Cimino. You let all of them down. And I want you to know that we're not happy with you over at the Drive. So you're suspended 1 week. 1 week suspension.
I don't know if you saw the quote yesterday. Their offensive coordinator was, I think, Chris Collins talked to the media, and he was asked by their offensive coordinator, and he said, I told him recently it might be time to litter rip with Avery. What's been happening for 10 weeks? Why are we, you know, keeping him on ice? Hey, we have this quarterback we think might be a Heisman contender one day. Let's protect him at all costs. Like, the season's over. There's nothing left to play for, and you're just now like, yeah, litter rip.
1 week suspension. That's all I can say.
Well, if they lose to Cincinnati, we can't talk Farmageddon on this show. That's going to be the rule.
They got a 2 week suspension.
If they beat Cincinnati, okay, we'll talk Farmageddon because Farmageddon's a big deal. But if they lose at home to Cincinnati, if they lose at the Bill to Cincinnati and Arizona State in back to back weeks, no thanks. No conversations.
Someone on the text line says, see that, so that means you can't talk about Felix anymore. We ain't been talking about Felix, period, anyway. You guys treat Felix like a make-a-wish kid that got to live out his dream to go play for the Chiefs, and that was it. That's how you guys treat Felix. So you guys don't talk about Felix. We leave Felix alone. Disappointed, bro. You let me down. You let the whole drive down.
Arizona State power of the Big 12.
Okay. See, you are
traditional power.
You always take it too far. That's what happens.
Nothing says Big 12 title game like BYU and Arizona State.
You crossed the line habitually is what you did. Let's talk about your team. Now, I understand why this is not the case, but KU should be ranked. KU should be ranked. I know what their record is. I know that they're probably not going to make a bowl. I get it. I understand all of that. Right now, there are not 25 teams better than Kansas. They're not. There's like 17. There are not 25 teams better than Kansas. I assure you that's to be the case. So, congratulations, KU. You guys have played really well. You guys have competed. You guys have got yourself back into the thick of things. You guys have a chance of getting back into this thing and making a bowl game. I wish someone had told you guys that the college football season started back in August and not in late October, because that's when you guys decided to start playing. I don't know what happened that little bye week, but ever since the game against Houston, you guys have been the team we thought you were going to be at the very beginning of the year. You guys have been good the last few weeks or so. You went on the road and beat BYU. You knocked out Iowa State. And now you're only a 2.5-point dog against one of the hottest teams in the country in Colorado. Rob is telling me he's expecting tens of thousands of fans to be out there. How many people you tell me going to be out there? 40, 50,000 people out there to watch?
I'd say 45 to 50.
Heisman Trophy winner?
45 to 50.
Yeah.
They got 51 for Iowa State. Some of them are Jayhawk fans.
K-State, you guys know what you made me do. We shouldn't even be talking about KU football right now. That's how much you guys have let us down that we not even – 1 week suspension.
Come on now. You know if it was over 55, you'd be at the game on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure.
That's because you love Devin Neal. Nothing else. No other reasons.
Someone on the text line says, so if Jordy Nelson called in tomorrow, said he wanted to come on the show, you say no. No, we'd record it, and then we just play it next week. That's what we do.
We would ask exclusively Aaron Rodgers questions.
100%.
Hey, is he as big of a weirdo as everyone says he is?
Yeah, no. If Jordy Nelson wants to come on the show, that's fine. Tell him that we need to record it between 10 and 1:30, and then we'll play it for you guys on Tuesday. That's how we'll do it. No. He's not coming on the show this week. Terrence Newman's not coming on the show this week. We don't want any K-State person on the show this week. You guys got to learn. We don't want Jerome Tang, Chris Klieman, none of them. Next week, sure. This week, no. You know what? I'll amend it for one person. We'll take John Curry. That's who we'll take.
That's a K-State person?
Yeah, we'll take
the Wake Forest Athletic Director?
Yeah, we'll take John Curry on the show.
Hey, what happened that one time with you and Frank Martin?
Yeah, that's who we'll take. We'll take John Curry this week if you want him. There's no other college football team to talk about.
You don't want to have Jerome Tang on and ask, hey, why'd you spend $20 million on Coleman Hawkins? He doesn't seem worth it.
See, that's hate. Why? I'm not hating. You hating. I'm not hating.
Coleman Hawkins has more fights than rebounds.
Yo, see, that's hate. Why are you doing that? You guys should have saw the day that K-State lost to LSU. Rob was in the text. He was in the group chat giggling about it. I don't do that. I'm not here praying on K-State's downfall. I want you guys to do better.
I wasn't giggling. I was just stating some facts. Like the text that read, hey, did you know LSU is picked behind Missouri in the SEC conference preseason schedule?
See, again, that's
big
hate.
Facts.
There's no reason
big
for
facts.
That. K-State, you know what? I'm sorry. I can't control Rob. This show needs a disclaimer like the beginning of Pat McAfee. Some thoughts and opinions are not expressed by both of us. Some opinions are. I don't have anything against you, K-State. Rob does. At Rob L. Brenton on Twitter. Please direct all the smoke towards him. Please.
That's Carrington.Harrison at Odyssey.com.
No,
that's where I get all my email.
That's nasty. That's crazy. You giving out my work email? No, that's no. That's not right. I didn't do anything. I don't want any problem with y'all. You know what, K-State fans, I'm giving you a pizza right now. 913-586-7965. If you say email, we'll give you a pizza. Coming up, we got Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated. It's The Drive.